Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
How can you glorify God in your body when it doesn't function right? And the Bible says your body is the temple. What makes you think the Holy Ghost wants to live inside of a body where it can't see out through the windows and it can't hear with the ears? What makes you think the Holy Spirit wants to live inside of a physical body where the limbs and the organs and the cells do not function right? You don't want to live in a house with a leaky roof. You don't want to live in a house where the toilets are running over on the floor. You don't want to live in a run-down, broken-down house where the electricity doesn't work and the wires are hanging out of the wall. You get it fixed. And what makes you think he wants to live in a temple where he can't see out of the eyes and he can't walk with the feet and he can't move with the hands? Because the only hands that he has in the earth realm are the hands that are in the body. The only eyes that he has that are in the earth realm are the eyes that are in the body. If you can't see out of them, then God's going to be limited. He's not going to be helped.
That's televangelist and Word Faith teacher Fred Price, his argument for why healing, bodily healing, is necessary today. And of course, a lot of Christians who say if you've got a disease, something is wrong, maybe it's a faith problem with you, the answer is faith healing. You need to get enough faith, go to the right healer, and if you have enough faith, you will be healed miraculously. Now, you can turn on the television, Trinity Broadcasting Network, and you can watch it happen in real time. Now, the question isn't so much, is it real? I think a lot of times it's pretty obvious it isn't real. But what is the real healing that Scripture does promise to Christians today? Joining us to talk about faith healing, Tyson Bibb. He's a student at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and author of an article for Higher Things magazine titled, Be Healed. Tyson, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you very much.
You say that you find something very frustrating watching these faith healing rallies on Trinity Broadcasting Network and the like. Why do you find those events and watching them so frustrating?
Well, I think one of the things that really gets to me is just how inherently deceptive they are. And, you know, at first glance, that might sound really harsh. You know, how can you watch something like that where God is seemingly intervening and healing all these people of these things? You know, it just seems so miraculous. But surrounding it is something that we don't tend to see in our culture because we just kind of look right through it. We're so used to it, is this production value, because it's a performance. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, I don't know about you, but the last time I checked, I wasn't able to just, you know, send a quick prayer up to God and then, you know, he would send the Holy Spirit down and I could miraculously heal people at will. But yet these services are, you know, recorded and just kind of played out there for people to see. And it's really as though the Holy Spirit is just kind of doing the bidding of whoever the preacher is on the show. And that's very, very deceptive to me. And well, that's what frustrates me.
There are two things there that you mentioned. One is the fact that these are orchestrated events. I mean, that's essentially what you're saying.
Yes,
These are orchestrated, and even though they are orchestrated to look like they're not orchestrated, which kind of makes them more orchestrated all the more.
Yes, yeah.
And the other thing that you're talking about there is that the Holy Spirit, you can't schedule him to do what he does or require that he does anything in particular in any given time. Talk about that second one.
Well, you know, I mean, God comes to us through the means of his word and through the sacraments. And those concrete things that we have from his word, that's what he tells us to be true. His word is how he has revealed himself to us. And so we look to the scriptures and we see where God has promised to be found. And it's not at 8 o'clock, 7 central on Trinity Broadcast Network when, you know, some televangelist is up there seemingly knocking people to the ground with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is, that's just something that gets to me, you know. I mean, God does not do our bidding. It is to be the other way around. We are to obey our God and Father, and something, of course, that we are completely incapable of doing. And, you know, for that we say thanks be to God for Christ Jesus, for the salvation that we have in him.
Now, talk about something you just mentioned there, and that is where the Holy Spirit has promised to be working and to be doing very particular things. You mentioned his word and his sacraments. There we can count on it. Why is that?
Yes. Well, God does not lie, and he promises in his word that His Holy Spirit is going to be working in and through His Word to reveal to the human heart its sinfulness, and then also reveal who Jesus Christ is, the Savior of the world, the Savior from sin. And we also have the promises that God's Holy Spirit is present in holy baptism, and that is where that salvation, that righteousness of Christ is applied to us. And those are ways in which it's concrete that God is meeting with His people, is meeting with us. And then also, of course, we have the Lord's Supper, where Jesus Christ Himself comes to us, body and blood, bread and wine, to give us that tangible forgiveness and healing, really, there. Because there we have that promise. You are forgiven. We receive strengthening of faith, forgiveness in the sacrament of the altar. And, you know, those are the ways in which God has promised to be with us. Those are ways that the Holy Spirit works.
Now, you said healing, and again, people who've been kind of tuned into thinking of healing in a biblical sense as healing of diseases, a miracle, a sudden instantaneous removal of some sort of infirmity or malady, are going to say, how can you call those things that seem so ordinary, like the preaching of the gospel or baptism of the Lord's Supper, healing?
Well, because we have this ultimate sickness, of course, that being sin, that which separates us from God. It's something that we're born with. You know, we cannot free ourselves from it. You could say that we're terminal cases from the time we're conceived, and the only way in which we can receive the healing that we truly need is for God to intervene, and He did so in His Son, Jesus Christ, through His death and resurrection. And that healing is applied to us through God's Word, joined with the waters of baptism.
Are you saying that the condition of sin itself is actually a worse disease, a worse sickness than cancer, than someone who can't walk or see, or someone who has some sort of other physical malady?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and you know, once again, that's another thing that sounds like completely out of sorts when you look at things from a worldly human perspective. But in the grand scheme of life, when you come into this world, you know, you're going to live your life, and when you die, you either, by the grace of God, through His calling and choosing you in baptism, by converting your heart, you either go to be with Him for eternity, and that's heaven, or you go to eternal punishment. And so, you know, not to downsize or limit the fact that there are some pretty terrible things that happen in this world, obviously, but ultimately, when it comes down to life and death, we are either going to be with our Father in heaven forever, or we're going to be with Satan, the opposer, an eternal punishment. And that's the healing that we receive when God converts our hearts by means of His Word, the Holy Spirit doing that. And so, yes, sin is a sickness that is far, far worse than any disease or malady that might come our way in this world.
Are you saying that God can't heal the way that it seems, or some people claim He does, instantaneously, miraculously?
Oh, God is capable of all things. I mean, He can heal whenever and however He chooses to, but the thing is that it's His choosing. It's His will. We're not to command or tell God exactly how things should be. We're the created thing. You know, the created thing cannot tell the Creator, this is how things should be. You know, it's as if the potter was being talked back to by the pot that's in His hands. It's really absurd when you think about it, but that's what we do all the time with God. We sin. He sets the boundaries. He sets the standards, and we have that most clearly in the Ten Commandments, and we break them at every turn, and the only hope we have is Jesus Christ.
How does God ordinarily, then, go about affecting healing of our physical maladies?
Well, this is where vocation comes in, because I think we too often want to look at the regular everyday things, such as doctors and nurses and the other healing professions we have, and we want to say, yeah, you know, they're pretty good, but they just seem so ordinary, or there's so many people that still die. But God works through the hands of those doctors, nurses, surgeons, to bring healing to people. And he kind of hides himself. You know, we talk about vocations being a mask of God. God hides himself through the working of these healthcare professionals to bring health to the body. And it's a great blessing when you have a doctor or physician who's actually a Christian, confesses the same thing that you do, that Christ is Lord and is Savior, because then there, you know, there can be that connection. But primarily within their vocation, they're there to heal your body, and that is a gift from God.
Tyson Bibb is our guest. We'll take a break here. We're going to continue talking about faith healing on the other side of the break. It's Wednesday afternoon, October the 10th. Now, maybe the problem is how we have misdefined the term miracle. We think of miracles as something that happen instantaneously. They're readily evident to anyone who would be watching that something supernatural has happened. We have to kind of perceive some sort of a physical change. Granted, a lot of miracles do fall into that category. There's no doubt about it. But is there a class of miracles perhaps even greater than those that don't? Namely, are the things like baptism, absolution, Lord's Supper, in fact, greater miracles than anything you'd ever see at any faith healing rally? We'll be right back.
Jesus walked on the water, and I know that it's true. But sometimes I think that preacher man would like to do a little walking too. But I ain't asking.
Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Thank you, Todd, and thanks for everything you do.
Pastor Matt Harrison, President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the value of Issues Etc.
You've done so much to teach so many people about the depth of the gospel and to find joy in the Christian life and experience.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. Issues Etc. Listen to what you want, when you want, at issuesetc.org.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We, the saints at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church, wish all lovers of the unshackled art of music unceasing grace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Since the beginning, the Church has spoken by her sacred hymns. Now is your chance to contribute to the great voice of the communion of saints throughout history with the St. Ambrose Hymn Writing Contest. Render your contribution to this great corpus of song. For more information, visit clamavi.com. That's C-L-A-M-A-V-I.com.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, is only $15.99. CPH.org.
In my humble opinion, one of the most beautiful settings for a hymn ever recorded. That tune is absolutely lovely. The hymn, The Day Thou Gavest, Lord, is ended, sung by the Liverpool Cathedral Choir, playing right now, along with many other beautiful hymns and songs of the church at LutheranPublicRadio.org. It's absolutely free. It's 24/7, and it's there just for you. The church's music, all day long, all night long, and all year long at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen for free and share it with your friends, LutheranPublicRadio.org. We're talking about faith healing. Tyson Bibb is our guest, a student at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and author of an article for Higher Things magazine titled Be Healed. Okay, Tyson, it sounds like what you're saying is that the miracles that we witness on an everyday basis that we don't often regard as miracles, baptism, absolution, the Lord's Supper, are in fact miracles as great as anything the charlatans want us to think that they are doing?
Oh, absolutely. They're greater things, you know, because what we're talking about are the sacraments. These are things which Christ has given to us. These are gifts by which he applies the grace that he won for us to us. We individually receive the righteousness that we don't deserve in the first place, but that Christ gives freely in his death and resurrection in baptism and in the sacrament of Holy Communion. They're truly wonderful gifts, and in absolution as well, because inherent within the office of the keys, the pastor has the ability to say, I forgive you, and to be able to do it in the stead and by the command of Jesus Christ.
That might change the way we think about Sunday morning, Tyson. What do you think?
Well, I would hope so. You know, we tend to think of the things that we can see as just being so ordinary. I mean, you come to church on Sunday morning, and what do you see? You see a man in some robes. And nowadays, we want to really downplay that and say, oh, he's just a guy. You know, he could be Bob or Joe down the road. But really, this is a man whom God has chosen, not because he has any great talent or worth within himself, but this is a man that God has chosen and set apart to be a conduit of his grace. This is a man that God works through. And see, that's the wonderful thing about vestments. When you come into the church and you see the pastor vested, you don't see the man. Instead, you see the servant that Christ has called. They're serving for you because God is giving his gifts of word and sacrament through this man who's been called and ordained into the church. And so really, in a way, you could say that that's where the real miracle working happens every Sunday. It just looks so ordinary that we tend to ignore it.
I think the average person who looks at the faith healing service and sees, as you mentioned before, people being knocked over, apparently the Holy Spirit's just moving hither and yon and taking away all these diseases, is going to say, well, that looks like what's happening with Jesus during his earthly ministry, or the disciples in the book of Acts, where people are just being healed en masse. And they're going to wonder, why is God not doing that today? Is there a good answer for that question?
Well, yeah, you know, God does heal that way. It's just it's according to his will. And see, the thing is it's really easy for us to look in the Gospels and say, well, that's the way it was then. It should be the same now. But Jesus is God, and we obviously are not. And though he does give us the gifts of word and sacrament administrated through the pastor at the office of the keys, this sort of miraculous healing, this laying on of hands that we see in the scriptures, God had a specific purpose for those happenings. And it's not that he can't do those things, and it's not that that doesn't happen in some places in the world. In some instances, God can certainly heal miraculously in that way. But, you know, he chooses to work through the means of the health professions most of the time today. And going back to Jesus' ministry, once again, he was God. And so he had that power to heal people. And what he was doing was not just healing because he wanted to, which, I mean, he did want to, but he had a very specific purpose to it. He was showing that the kingdom of God was advancing, that the kingdom of God was coming in him.
Now, the faith healer is usually set within a larger context that I want to discuss for a few minutes, and that is the whole charismatic, for lack of a better word, the charismatic movement, a group of Christians that claim to themselves the special gifts of the Spirit, and they claim it really as being kind of the touchstone for real Christianity. You got to have these manifest gifts of the Spirit. How would you rightly understand the gifts of the Spirit according to the New Testament if the charismatics have got it wrong?
Well, you see, it comes back to who's in charge. Are we in charge, or is God in charge? God will dispense those gifts as he wants to, when he wants to, in the amounts that he wants to. And we often tend to focus on this charismatic speaking in tongues, and that it's some kind of angel language or some kind of babble that we hear. But really, I mean, when you look at it, Paul actually says that desire the other gifts more than this. And when it comes to the tongues, I seem to recall Reverend Jonathan Fisk talking about this, that it was translated, it's more like the spiritual stuff, spiritual gifts, and that the speaking of tongues doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you're going to utter some unintelligible words. Rather, they're most likely going to be in some language that we have here, and there should be some interpreter to accompany that. But in terms of having to have these things to be a true Christian, so to speak, the scriptures speak very clearly that one who is called to faith in Jesus Christ by the word, through the waters of baptism, that is the true gift. That's the miracle. That's the healing right there, the healing from sin that we so desperately need as sinners. And God gives that freely. This idea that there's some kind of hierarchy within the Christian church and that if you have more of the Spirit or more of these spiritual gifts, so to speak, that you're better, well, that sounds an awful lot like a worldly perspective, you know, trying to get the one up on someone else, trying to be the quote-unquote better Christian, that there are somehow some multiple levels to Christianity. Either you're called to faith through the gospel or you're an unbeliever. It really is as black and white as that. And so to say that, well, once you become a Christian, there are these, you know, X number of steps to follow to become a better Christian or to reach the next spiritual high point or level as if it's some kind of role-playing game and we're ranking up, that's just not scriptural.
Then to the person who says, look, my health isn't getting better, it's getting worse, I will probably, maybe I already have faced some sort of disease, it may even kill me, what is the real certain promise that that person has about healing of both body and soul from Holy Scripture?
Well, the promises that we have, and they're so rich, are the promises that we have in Christ Jesus, that he came to us when we could do nothing to save ourselves, in fact, when we're enemies of God, and he chose to save us. He died in our place, took all the punishment for our sin on himself, and buried it in death, and then rose in victory on the third day, and now is at the right hand of God, interceding for us before the Father, and that all those who have faith in Jesus Christ receive healing not only from the sin that they have in their life, but when they are called home in glory, it will be that. God will give them a new body, and they'll be with him forever in paradise. And there are simply no human words to express the glory, the majesty, the beauty, the wonder, the perfection that awaits all those who are called to Christ Jesus when they do eventually go to be with him forever.
Finally then, Tyson, you say that it's not a question of whether or not God does heal people so much as how God heals people. Mm-hmm. With about a minute here, what do you mean by that?
Well, as I've said earlier, God is healing all the time. He's healing soul through the working of his Holy Spirit, through his word, and through the sacraments. Have this wonderful gifts in the church. And then even, so to speak, outside the church, through the healing of, I hate to say just the body, but through the healing of the body, we have these gifts of the different health professions, these different vocations in which God works through people to bring healing to the body. But God dispenses those things as he will, and it's ultimately his good and gracious will that all would come to know Christ Jesus. And, you know, Lord willing, people wouldn't turn away from that, even though that's our natural inclination. We pray that the Holy Spirit would be working through the church and that the gospel would go everywhere so that all people would have the healing they need in body and soul.
Tyson Bibb is a student at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of an article for Higher Things magazine titled Be Healed. You can read this article at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tyson, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on the historic liturgy, part 14, I believe, talking with Pastor Will Wheadon about preaching, about the sermon, where it came from, why it's there, does it have to be there on Sunday morning. Also tomorrow, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, even though it's Thursday, yes, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week tomorrow on Issues Etc. The ultimate promise of healing, and I don't know why we turn up our nose at this, we won't when we receive it in its fullness, is the resurrection on the last day. When all is healed, all is restored, and we are given bodies that are no longer touched by the effects of sin, disease, illness, all those things that came with it are gone because sin is gone, because Christ has conquered sin, because he has taken all of our infirmities, all of our illnesses into his body on the cross. And having paid the price for our sin, the penalty for our sin, sin in the resurrection will no longer touch us at all. That is healing. That's the healing Christ has come to promise. Now, we turn up our nose at it because we want the little healing, the small h healing in the meantime. But God has a design for that too, the illness, the weakness, the age, the infirmity. It's called living under the cross, living with the suffering that comes along with our sin to remind us of what Christ has suffered, all that he has suffered for us, all to point us to Christ and his cross. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Coming Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 3 in the afternoon Central Time on November 2nd through 3 in the afternoon Central on November 3rd. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.